Morning. I want to be one. A difference maker up there. I love it that our series is about that. That's what I want to be. I had these big plans that I was going to come up here in a suit and tie and take the suit coat off and throw it down on the ground, take the tie off, throw it down on the floor, and then pull my shirt tail out and get it out over my belt. Some of you are really getting that already. I thought it would have been really funny. And yesterday when I told Nance about it, she goes, she didn't say anything, she just did one of these. And I didn't say anything back, but I knew right then I wasn't going to do that. This morning when I got up and I went out and look at my notes and stuff, when I come back in, she's lying there in bed and she says, I really don't think you ought to do what you were planning on doing yesterday. And I told her I wasn't. She'd been wrestling with telling me because she knew how excited I was to make fun of these guys that wear their shirts out all the time. I don't make fun of that. As a matter of fact, my mom was sitting in church with me at Blackhawk. And I mean, the music was rocking. And my mom was probably my age or older. And I just leaned to her and said, Mom, are you okay? She said, I like it. The theme that week was Mission Impossible. As soon as all of a sudden on the screen a fuse, zzz, dun, 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 dun. I mean, and it was vibrating me. And I thought, oh, Mom, because I know she likes piano and organ and Blessed Assurance the way we sang it. Not today, but. I said, Mom, are you okay? And she goes, I like it. I knew she didn't like it. So after church, we're in the car, we're on our way home. I said, Mom, I know you don't like that kind of music at church, that kind of program. She goes, did you see how many young people are in that church? I said, well, I go there every week. Yeah, I know. She goes, I like it. Mom and a lot of other people in my life have taught me to be willing to change with the times. Nancy helped me realize that's not really me with jeans and but that being relevant, important, be willing to change. So that's one of the things I've tried to do. In Acts chapter 15, I was reading, this is 35 years longer, 45 years ago. I'm reading in Acts chapter 15, and Paul and Barnabas come from Antioch to Jerusalem. They want to have a discussion with Peter and James and the leaders of the church in Jerusalem because they had been requiring that Gentiles who were becoming Christians had to get circumcised if they were males in order to be Jews first and then Christians after that. And Paul and Barnabas heard directly from God that that was not the case. And Peter also knew it. Remember in Acts, he'd also experienced some things that helped him understand, no, you didn't have to be a Jew to be a Christian. Cornelius's house, remember all that? I'm reading all that. And they have the discussion with those leaders. In Acts 15, they come to the conclusion, you don't have to get circumcised as an adult male, any male actually, in order to become a Christian. And I'm not kidding. I'm sitting there reading that and thinking, man, I'll bet you those guys that were my age were going, whew. And then Acts 16 happens next. He goes to Timothy, whose dad was Greek and his mother was Jewish. And he wasn't circumcised, but he was a believer. And Paul wanted him to come with him on his missionary journey. And he said, Timothy, we're going to go minister to Jews. Get circumcised before we go. Read it. It's in there. Not those words exactly. And Timothy did it. I'm thinking, wait a minute. Whew, don't have to do it. We're going to go minister to Jews. Get circumcised. Same guy. And I thought, wow, what am I going to take away from this? Timothy, by the way, had a pretty good ministry. He and Paul had a great journey together. And then Timothy pastored after that. You know, 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul wrote to him. I'm thinking, okay, the book of Acts, it's not about doctrine. But there are principles to live by throughout that book. It's the first century of the church's existence, and God's revealing all kinds of things to those people. And I thought, okay, what is it? So this is what came to me. Maybe from God. He can do it when he wants to. He can speak in a burning bush when he wants you to know what he wants you to know. But sometimes he does it in mysterious ways through his spirit, differently for all of us. At that point, I thought, okay, this is what I think's true. I went home to talk to Renee, my previous wife, who died when we were 44. Nancy's the only wife I have right now. I have a sister in heaven who used to be my wife. But that's my wife right there. I love my sister in heaven who used to be my wife. In the present tense, she lets me. That's amazing. I went home to Renee and I said, here's what I've been thinking. I said, it seems to me that whatever broadens our opportunity for ministry or gives it a deeper potential impact, we ought to go through those doors. And I said, and I think maybe we shouldn't go through any door that isn't that, no matter what the job. If it's not that, then stay where we are because it's broader here and deeper possible impact. Didn't matter what the job was. She agreed. We got job opportunities a lot. You know what happened? Because Black Hawk Christian School was a really good school, incredible teachers, and people thought it was me, not me. But people around the country wanted to hire me to come be the administrator of their school because our school was thriving. Every time I was giving up all the broad ministry impact I already had developed in Fort Wayne to go someplace else and start over for more money or perhaps a more prestigious position. We said no to those. And that lasted for 24 years. And then I got a phone call from a guy who gave me a broader opportunity and said he'd pay me, and we did something different. And then another opportunity opened up, and I went to the elders and the school board and said, this is an opportunity for, what do you think? And they said, yes, take it. It's broader. It's deeper. And I got advice from counselors every time. I never left a position without going to my elders to ask them if they sensed that it was right for me to do. And I went from Alger, Ohio, 900 people. I have a childhood friend who might be sitting out here. I don't see you right now, but he might be back here. I have a childhood friend who, in Alger, Ohio, 900 people. I ended up leaving there, going to Columbus, Ohio, worked there, moved to Fort Wayne, Indiana. Fort Wayne then opened up doors. He mentioned we got to travel a lot. Nancy and I got to go to a lot of places in the world that are just incredible where missionaries were working, and long story I'll tell you someday. We had a chance to do a lot of things there. Then a man who had an opportunity for me wanted me to continue to do that 6 months of the year and work for him, helping his executive teams across the eastern United States and still go on these mission trips for 6 months of the year And I wanted to help everybody learn how to build the kingdom in the marketplace. That's what my life became. And then he sold the steel business we were in, and we started buying businesses, and I had an opportunity there to help discover who we should be partnered with after we purchase, who the executive should be, and help them think about how to build the kingdom in that particular business. What a job. And the Silvius guys heard about it, and it's a long story I'll tell you someday, but I ended up coming to Warsaw, Indiana, because it appeared to be a broader and deeper possible impact for my retirement years. You like retirement years? And we did it. And it's been incredible. We came 11 years ago. The Silvius guys hired me. This is how broad it was. They're interviewing me over the phone. I was at Hilton Head, and it's Cam, Scott, Tyler, and Craig Snow, and Cam says, I said, what do you guys want me to do? And Cam says, why don't you write up a job description about the things you're best at and you love to do, and we'll just have you do that. I said, write my own job description? He goes, yeah. I said, that's broad. And it was. Main point of the message. We have the privilege of serving God and people for our entire lives to be difference makers. We have the privilege of serving God and people for our entire lives to be a difference maker. Perhaps in increasing measure. In my case, there's been increasing measure. I've had greater opportunities all the time. Sometimes people get a physical problem that keeps them from having more and more opportunities. They can just do what they are limited to do. I get that. But sometimes it's an increasing opportunity, more available, available forever. That's my motto. Available to him forever. I want to be a difference maker. Why do I feel that way? Let's look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. Todd used 12, 1 and 2 2 weeks ago. Aaron referred back to Todd using it and used it again last Sunday. I think God wants us, I put this in here 2.5 months ago. I think God wants us to know something from 12, 1 and 2. And so, the and so there in the NLT, it's therefore sometimes in other translations. And so, because of what I wrote previous to this in this letter to you, Romans, that we divide up into chapters 1 through 11, because of what I wrote there about your birth truth, sound familiar? That's our church. And identity truth. Because you're born again in Christ, because he died on the cross for your sins, because you need a Savior, because he's justified you before the Father in heaven through his blood. And so, because of all that, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. I can remember thinking, my goodness, I was doomed to separation from God forever. And all these other religions are trying to reach their God. He graciously reached down and snatched me and adopted me into his family through the blood of Christ because I believe that Jesus died for my sins and I need a Savior. Snatched me from eternal separation from the God of everything. My response to that is, wow, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do for the rest of the time that I'm on this earth, in this flesh? What do you want me to do? And therefore, I'm going to start going through the doors that you open up. At least I'm going to test them out and see if they really are what you want me to do or not. And all of my platforms in life, all of them, my neighborhood, my job, my sporting activities, my lake activities, everything that I do, every platform I'm on is an opportunity for ministry to love God and love people. And all of my relationships with the people are either evangelistic, sharing the gospel with people who don't believe yet, or iron sharpening iron, discipleship, and me getting discipled by a lot of them. Let them be a living holy sacrifice, our bodies. Let them be a living holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The end so is there because of what chapters 1 through 11 say. And then he says, because of that, because of your birth truth and your identity truth. And people that go here know what I'm talking about. My identity is in Christ. My birth is reborn into his family. Who am I to be? I'm to be a living and holy sacrifice. Living. They had been sacrificing dead things for years, thousands. He's saying, no, this, you're to offer your body as a living sacrifice. No more of those dead sacrifices to worship me. Offering your body individually, you, all, every single one of us, offering our bodies available to him. And it's interesting, there's nothing in these passages or anywhere in the scripture about, and that starts at age 11 or 21 or 32. And there's nothing about, and it stops around 65. There's no age requirement to get started at giving your body up as a living sacrifice to God. And there's no limit on when you, as a matter of fact, I think there's an ever-increasing opportunity for me. I have more time. I have more time now to give to him and to people than I did when I was working every day. But those platforms were the same. I had platforms, I worked for farmers when I was a kid. Wonderful platforms, opportunity to be an actual servant of God's, worship him with hard work. Then I went from farming to working at the steel foundry where my dad worked. That was work. Great platform. I didn't take advantage of that one all the time. I was in my stupid years. Sometimes those are in your 70s. You guys get that. Then I went from steel foundry to working in schools and churches. Great platforms for ministry. And then I went from there to starting something with some other guys that helped marketplace leaders think about how to build the kingdom of God Monday through Friday on that business platform they're on. And then I started working for a guy that sent me around the world doing the mission stuff we were talking about. And he then wanted me to coach his executive teams on the east, everything east of Mississippi. We fabricated and distributed rebar. Rebar is an incredible platform for ministry, I want to tell you. We did the Hoosier Dome and that Trump Tower up there. Made no money. It's opportunity in every job. And then I ended up coming to Warsaw. But the platform doesn't matter. Your platform that you exist in, your circle of life and the people that you live with are an incredible platform opportunity for you to be a difference maker in their life. And sometimes we think, well, that's only this few people. No, sometimes the people that influenced this person can really start to understand, oh my goodness, this person influenced those people, or the person that influenced those people. It's about serving him where he has you. If he wants me to do something else, I'll hear the burning bush speak. Holy. He wants me to sacrifice myself. That's living. And then holy, 1 Peter chapter 1. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control, Peter says. So, that so word is just like the and so word. It's not the very same one, but it's like the and so word that we looked at when we were talking about Romans chapter 12. So, because of everything I say here, prepare your minds for action. Exercise self-control. Prepare your minds for action. One of my the King James says, gird up the loins of your mind. I like that one. I don't have time for the details on that, but it's good. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. You realize we have another salvation we're going to experience. It's going to be big. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do. Just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say you must be holy because I am holy. We are called by God to be different. The word holy means other than what we are naturally. He's totally other than us. He's not the best version of us, which we have a tendency to think of him that way sometimes. How foolish. His ways are higher than ours, Isaiah 55. He's not the best version of us. Don't slip back into the ways. Don't stop realizing that you need to be holy as he is holy. Other in Leviticus, it says, it has a whole list. Don't eat this. Eat this. Be holy as I am holy is the last thing. Don't do this. Do this. Be holy as I am holy. Then he says to the nation of Israel, punish those, discipline them, those who eat this that they're not supposed to eat. Do this that they're not supposed to do. Why? Because I want you to be a holy nation. Other, you're representing me. You're light to the entire world, Israel. About what happens when somebody worships the true and living God. I want to bless the socks off you to get their attention. Well, how in the world am I supposed to be that? Romans 12:2 again, please. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Did you hear that? He says, present your body to me. Okay? Don't be like this. The world's like this. Don't be like that. Be holy. And what you're going to get from me is a good, pleasing, and perfect future. Anybody in? I mean, there's an outcome to this that's good for me. The world offers, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, 16. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, a craving in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. In my flesh, I naturally desire, NIV says, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. I call these three things pleasure, lust of the flesh, craving for physical pleasure. You got, here's one right here. I'd rather eat it right now, eat it again right now, eat it another time right now, taste it, smell it, touch it, have it touch me right now. That's me. That's my nature. Second to that is the third one, pride in our achievements. Craving our achievements and possessions. Craving possessions is third for me. pleasure, possessions, P, and then I liked the P's, so I went with position after that. That's natural. In my flesh, that's what I want to do. He's saying to me, no, don't you be like the world. If you spot that, quit doing it. Here's what you're to crave. To think more like me. That's what he wants us to do. Let's go to Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways far beyond your ways. Anything you could think or imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We're to renew our minds with his thoughts and his ways. The Sunday school teachers, it's all started then. Mrs. Campbell, Mrs. Botkins, Mrs. Williams, Mrs. Fensler, I can go on and on. Mr. Williams, they did it for 18 years. Those people invested in me, and so did whoever did the flannel graphs. Whoever was publishing stuff for David C. Cook Publishing Company in Chicago, I read those papers week after week after week. They were investing in me all those years, renewing my mind, getting me to think his thoughts rather than my thoughts. We have to do that. You have to be in the Word. You have to be in prayer. You have to be getting counsel from wise people that you're surrounded by, people that love the Lord and are going to give you the truth. Because we need to have his thoughts, his ways become our thoughts and our ways. I challenge you. Whatever it takes for you to be like that and be available forever to God, to expand your opportunity, not necessarily a bigger platform. Sometimes he's going to have you go deeper with the people that are in your circle of life right now. I want to be a difference maker. And I want to challenge you to be one too.
I hope you were challenged the way I was. And to take those opportunities to allow God to use us in the lives of those who are around us. I want to remind you that as you go out, there would be a place that you can go and into our Step Out. It's an opportunity for you to have help in connecting on how you might serve, that you might be a difference maker, not just in this church, but in this community and in this world for eternal things that truly matter. So thankful for people that have spoken into my life. And we heard some of Steve's story, right? These people that poured into him and the impact that that's made. And then think of all the people that Steve's poured into. Just being willing to be that living sacrifice. Not just willing to die for someone that we love and care about, but to live for them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for who you are, just your amazing love, your power, your ability to even use us, as frail as we are, needy and broken, and yet you are inviting us in to make a difference in the lives of people around us, people that we love and know and care about. Lord, as you call us into that space, I pray you just give us the courage to know that it's you that does the work. And we just simply need to be willing to share that message. Because what you did for us on that cross has given us new and eternal life, and we are so grateful, and we just want to share that with others. Lord, allow us to be hearing from you as we go about our day and our week. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. And in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great afternoon and week.